Listen and stand by.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
I have the ladder coming up for myself.
Yeah. That one they can do arthroscopically. Yeah. Not too bad. All right. What is yours?
Yeah, it's carpal tunnel. They have it in both, but only one of them particularly bothers me. The other one I didn't even know was there.
You said that both, they're going to do both, and when? And are they going to do them at the same time or at different times?
No, at different times. Where's one first?
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Very good. Very good. I'm fooling around with the Whisper program, the weak signal propagation. So there's going to be an eclipse next month, and there's an organization that wants to study the effects of an eclipse on HF propagation. So they're encouraging people to be active around that time. I fired that up last night, got it working, and amazing. You heard a lot of places in the world. You know, they have a map, WhisperNet. Go on there, and you see the map, and you can see who's hearing you. You can report who you're hearing, and it's one great big database.
Yep, there you go. Well, they will see. Maybe the noise floor will drop. I know about the eclipse. I just didn't know what part of it we're going to see in this area.
Yeah, I don't know either. But, you know, they want to see activity from maybe an hour and a half before to an hour and a half after. So it's, yeah, I guess during the daytime, the sun is ionizing the ionosphere layers. And when the sun is eclipsed, I guess there'll be some kind of effect in it, trying to study that and understand it, so on and so forth. And whatever. But this is automatic. You can set this thing up and just let it run. For example, well, there were 2-minute transmissions. They're 2 minutes long. And you can do anywhere from like milliwatts to maybe 50 watts. So you report what your power is. And you can set it for, let's say, transmit 20% of the time. So it'll transmit one cycle and maybe receive for 4 cycles, where you can report out what you're hearing and then transmit for another cycle, that kind of thing. You know, so I don't know what band to do. I read up on it. There's an organization that's looking for participation. I'll see if maybe they have some hints as to specifically what bands, or maybe all the bands. So it doesn't matter. I'll just throw my signals up out in the air amongst everybody else's, and maybe they can glean some theories. Who knows? That's the story there. All right, so you're going to meet up with Steve. Say hello.
Yeah, he has something scheduled, so he's going to give me a call. I'm just killing some time right now.
W2NDG Mobile. Good morning, guys.
Oh, they let him out of the underway.
A long time. Long time. Although I do see emails of yours that Steve is also sending out about all your endeavors. These anti-talkie and side-loaded firmware, I guess. I don't know. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. And I heard both of you there in the beginning, so yes. I get scans at Sloan Kettering Bergen Cancer Center here once every 6 months now. Yeah. Of course, unless they find something, and then it'll be more often. But so that's today. So I wasn't expecting to be out of there for another hour, but they got me through pretty quick. Things are good. So I'm losing some altitude, so I might get a little choppy. But the repeater works really well up here. And yes, I have a lot of experiment. I just got my daughter board for my Quanxing radio, and I'm going to maybe try to install that. I got to pick up my grandkids a little after 3 at school, and then I hang out with them until their mother gets home from work late tonight. I do that every Monday. So spending a lot of time with them lately. And otherwise, things are good. You're talking about Whisper, one of my favorite topics.
I gotta sneak out of here. I'll be back, WB2ZSE.
All righty, Steve. Yeah, Neil, you with the All-Star, pretty good because you can duplex, you hear everybody. But, all right. Well, it's every Monday. Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. So, yeah, you're in Jersey. So I don't know if you'll be able to come back. Let's see how your signal is. Go ahead. All righty, I'm going to assume you're out of range there, altitude-wise or whatever. So I'll listen out. It's NY2H.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
That's a really good
Echo 2, Charlie Victor Bravo. Kilo Echo 2, Charlie Victor Bravo.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Yeah, it sounds like you're
You should be on 250 transmit. It sounds like you're maybe on 255. Excuse me, I am just on the phone. I'll be right back. WBSE.
WJ2B mobile, name here is Joe, we're in Smithtown, got it?
Ah, don't hear many 2x1 calls. Yeah, name here is Donnie, David Oscar Nor Yankee. I'm way out here in Southold.
Hey, Donnie. Hey, sound good. I guess you're going in on 375, so am I. So, yeah, you're making a good trip from Southold there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just spent my Christmas money in the... bought myself a new engine for my boat.
Very nice. What kind of car? What kind of engine?
A 115 four-stroke. Places a 17-year-old two-stroke Optimax. Maybe 18 years old. Yeah, it's got to be 18 years old.
Yeah, so you're going to tell me it's a big V8 and a racing car.
No, I don't want to go fast. I want to go far. So I got the four-bladed prop and I splurged. I got power steering because I don't feel like this engine's going to be 100 pounds heavier than the other one. I don't feel like wrestling with it anymore. So this one gets like 2 miles to the gallon. My other one is about 2 gallons to the mile. Plus, I had to add oil to it, so I'm done with that forever. But it was bad. That two-stroke, that Optimax was very bad.
You're talking about a boat, I guess, right?
Yeah, for my boat. I mean, I just have my little Patriot here. You know, I just have like a 2.6 four-stroke.
Copy that. Hey, I had a boat back in from 1985 to 1991, a Sea Ray Seville cabin cruiser about 19 feet long, and it had a 140 horse GM four cylinder Mercruiser and what output I got.
Flymark info net.
Yeah, that's all you need, really. I mean, I also had a Sea Ray out of 25, and that had a Merc, a thunder bolt in it, with electronic inject, you know, fuel injection and electronic ignition. But I sold that right before my son went into college, about over 20 years ago. And then you know, I bought this thing just so I could get around, in and out. Just go fuss around on the bay. Sometimes the bride wants to go for a ride and pack a picnic lunch. What's going on here? And we'll go over to Democrat or Water Island or someplace like that, or Atlantic.
Hey, very good, very good. Yeah, I had that boat right before I got married, and I think once I get married, I'm going to need the money, so I sold it. But yeah, it was fun. My parents always had a boat. They had a boat for 20 something years when I was growing up in Island Park, that area over there. So I'm at my destination here, Donnie. So let me give you 73s for now, and I'll be back in a few minutes if you still have the NWJ2B.
Yeah, I mean, the trip out here is like an hour and 15 minutes. But this was the place that gave me the cheapest price at the boat show. So, you know, you got to save bucks where you can. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be on the road for at least another 50 minutes. So I'll just listen on this machine. And to TBH Mobile, clear.
WJ2B Mobile. Go out there, Donnie, WJ2B Mobile.
Yeah, WJ2B Mobile, WJ2B Mobile. Yeah, this is, I think just took me the scenic tour here. It's going to take me to, express, taking me down to Sunrise Highway.
Yeah, you're a little noisy. I guess you're right on the fringe of the repeater right now. But I was just curious, how big was your boat there that you got the new engine?
Yeah, I'm actually out the riverhead right now. I should be turning west pretty soon.
Copy that. I don't know if you heard me good or not. I was asking you what kind of boat was it and how big it was there. Go ahead.
Oh, it's just a 20 center console, you know, no yacht. I've had whalers before. I just call them Clorox bottles. You know, they just stamp them out.
What did you say, 20 feet, you said?
Yes, yes. Footer. Center console. I mean, it draws about maybe a foot of water, so I mean, I could literally go anywhere in the bay.
Copy that. Yeah, it's good for fishing there, definitely. And how much of a, how many horsepower motor did you, are you putting on it?
I there was a 125 two-stroke on there, but it will not take a 125 four-stroke. It's a little too heavy. Even though the guy at Whaler said you could put like a 140 on it, I could, and then the bow would be in the air. You know, I'd have to put 50 pounds of lead in the anchor locker.
Yeah, it depends on how the weight distribution is on the boat. Chances are it'll just, I don't know if it'll make the bow go up, it'll probably just make the back of the boat draw more water. It'll just be further down in the water. Yeah, it's nice to have a boat that only draws about a foot. My boat was kind of heavy in the back because it had a car engine and a four-cylinder GM. And drew about, I don't know, probably about 2.5 feet. So I had to be careful if I went across a channel marker. I would usually, at anywhere near low tide, I would definitely start churning up mud. So it drew a little bit more water in the back than I would have liked. But yeah, it was a nice boat, though. I had fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, the 140 would definitely be, you know, overkill. So the 115 is just fine. You know, that's not going to, even though it's an extra 100 pounds, what I'm probably going to do is throw another 20 or 30 feet of chain onto the anchor. And if there's any, trim issues, that'll take care of that. But generally, it's only two people in a boat, you know, me and my wife, or sometimes my son goes out with me. We do a little fishing. But, yeah, my parents had a boat. I remember my dad and my uncle built our first boat. It was a, they got plans, they built a Garvey, a 22-foot Garvey scow bow with about an 8.5-foot beam. They built, the only thing they didn't build was they actually had a shipwright come in and lay the keel down and used an adze to chip out where the ribs, there were five ribs where the ribs were going to go.
Yeah. My parents bought a wooden teak 19-foot boat with a, I think it had a 50-foot outboard, Evinrude outboard on it. They bought that in a boat show in 1960, and they had it until about 1980, and they got rid of it. And, yeah, my whole, childhood growing up, what we used to do on the weekends was go out on the boat. They used to keep it at a house on right off of the road that goes over the Long Beach Bridge there in Island Park. So they had a lot of fun. We were always fishing. They always had fish in the freezer at the house. So always catching fish. Always eating fish. So all right, Alan, I got to run. So it was great talking to you. I hope to catch you again sometime soon. 73, have a great rest of your day. 3JTB.
Yeah, 73s. I'm sure I'll hear you on the machine again. So thanks to the QSO and to QBH Mobile out here. Five by five. I'm just wondering, was that an aftermarket external mic or an ICOM external mic?
It's an ICOM mic. I've had it for maybe it's a senior state. It's about 10 years old, but it looks in good shape.
You know, you might want to take it apart. You might want to see what's going on with the opening, the acoustical port, and maybe it's, you know, maybe there's something, some dirt sitting there. I know I take mine apart periodically and just, you know, take a Q-tip and a toothpick and, you know, get the gunk out around them. I'm always slopping coffee and, you know, fast food, you know, so it always, something always gets in there. It needs, you know, needs a cleaning every now and then. But, yeah, you're doing fine. You're holding the repeater fine now. I just ditched that mic for now.
Copy that. I think I'll do that, yeah. But I bought this radio for $30, and the guy said he never used it, so this sports radio has a battery pack for double A's, but I ordered the larger and regular battery through ICOM.
KACUTF?
Yeah, you have the F.
Yeah, top of this AC, it's Gary, KACUTF. I'm just curious, that gentleman, you got distortion on your audio. Take a look at your frequency readout. Are you right on frequency?
Yeah, I programmed it, like I key the mic and it goes 146.250.
Okay, that's the right frequency. I just thought maybe that was the reason he had some audio distortion. I'll be on the side, gentlemen, KACUTF.
Yeah, KACUTF, good call. I might probably definitely be the problem there. But now, perfect QSO. Yeah, right now I'm running my ID 5100. What was that make of the, what was that ICOM?
OPC-Victor 80, it's a sports radio.
Not familiar with that one, but you're putting out a good signal there. Yeah, I don't think there's an aftermarket battery tray for the 5100, for the ID 51. I don't think they make it, which is a shame, because they should. If it is, it's an accessory I haven't seen, and I would definitely purchase one.
I like this radio. It's nice and rugged. Got a real rugged body to it, a nice strong belt clip. I tell you, for $30, that's the best deal I got with all. Most of my radios are ICOM anyway, but this, I love this HT. I think I'll be carrying it with me the rest of the summer, or when the summer comes at least.
And to TVH Mobile, yeah, I actually bought, when I bought the 51 about 5 years ago, I, you know, came with the normal battery pack. I think 1100 milliampere hours. And so then I bought the high powered, you know, the high capacity one for about 1800 milliampere hours. And the problem is, when you do D-Star on that radio, it just sucks. It sucks the normal battery dry in about 4 hours. The extended one lasts about six. So battery for the 705, which is like 3100 milliampere hours. But it fits the ID 51. It's retrofitted to the 51, 51A, and the 52. So I bought one for Christmas. I took my Christmas money and I bought one, and I bought the rapid battery charger for it. And I could talk all day and all night on that thing. You get about a good 12 hours of runtime on that 3100 milliampere hour battery. I used to have a lot of Kenwood gear too, and then over the last like 10 years, I've slowly just converted it. You know, just I mean, I still have it, but I've gone ICOM. You know,
I'm a loyal ICOM myself. I've got a couple of I want to get that I want to get an HF rig soon as I pass my general class.
No, I mean, you can buy an HF rig right now. You just have the only, you know, and you have CW and data privileges, you know, in the lower bands, and from 28.3 to 28.5, you got single sideband. There's a lot of activity on 10 right now. I mean, you could pick up a used 7000, which I have in the car, you know, so I have an HF mobile, and, you know, I'm talking, like today, just after I dropped my son off at the train station, I talked to a guy in Spain and a guy in Germany. You know, I mean, the band is wide open. I mean, sometimes it's, the sun is a little more active than I seem to remember at the last sunspot cycle, and it's, sometimes the ionosphere is getting stomped with coronal, you get HF blackouts due to the coronal mass ejections, but I'm having a ball working 70 watts on 10, and I'm working the entire world.
I just erected my Ringo 10-meter antenna, and I'm using a radio oddity, if I pronounce that right, and I've made 3 contacts so far. I've been working 10 meters for the last 2 weeks. It's fun. I'm really, really having a good time with that.
Okay, I'm not really familiar with that. Is that a base or a mobile rig?
The radio QT60, I want to say, it's a mobile rig. It's a big rig, though.
I have to look it up. It, just ballpark, what did that cost?
$279, and I bought a Ringo 10-meter antenna. I erected it on top of the building I live in Hempstead. So it's six. It's about 6 stories up, and I made some nice contacts.
Yeah, yeah. You get a lot of get a lot of good low angle radiation on a vertical. How many watts out?
The radio is rated at 60 watts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only running 70 watts out of my ICOM. I really can't push any more because if I do, I start getting feedback back in the vehicle. But probably in the next week or two, I'm expecting delivery of a custom-made ball mount, which I'm going to put on the side of my Jeep, and I'm going to put the AT4 tuner back in, and then I'm going to be able to do like 40-6. On HF, and probably run close to the full 100 watts. I also got a lot of choking, and you know, I got to put some chokes and stuff on like feed line, you know, like power lines and everything like that. I'm going to be mounting everything on a plate in the back of the Jeep. You know, one of the things about HF in a vehicle, you got to bond everything together. Everything has to be choked because that HF finds a way to get into stuff if you don't.
AZ2 Golf, little Charlie. Yeah, I can keep in touch with you. Maybe we can make some contacts just to test out that 10-meter on some local. I know I only got 28, 3 to 5 to work with, but with a technician class. But maybe we could do something, talk. I could test that radio out. I've only got 3 contacts overseas so far, but I still want to do some more testing. I'm new to 10 meters, so I've been listening more than talking.
Well, usually in the morning, so the weekday mornings, you know, between like 7 and 9, sometimes 7 and 10, if I'm not working and I drop Junior off the train station, you know, I'll turn the HF on and I'll listen. Generally, our club has a net on 28.340, so I'm always monitoring that. But, you know, if you're up and about, you know, Monday through Friday, and I'm not working, you know, I throw my call out all the time.
I'll take you up for 28.340. I'll listen out. Name here is Marvin, KC2, Gulf, Zulu, Charlie. I'm going to be clear on your final. We've got some other things to do.
Hey, no problem, Marvin. Name here is Donnie, David Oscar, Nora Yankee. Just give me a call sign one more time.
Kilo, Charlie, 2, Golf, Zulu, Charlie.
Right. Kilo, Charlie, 2, Golf, Zulu, Charlie. Okay, got it. All right, you know, so like I say, if you're listening on 28.340, you know, I throw my call sign out periodically. So if you're in Hempstead, that's about 30 miles away from where I am in Babylon. No, it's not even. It's about 15 miles away. That's about you know, assuming that antenna of yours has got some gain, that's a doable circuit. You should be able to hear me. I've worked other base stations further. All right, so 7-3 is an N2TBH bubble. Is going to be clear. KE2CKF, N2TBH bubble. Go ahead.
Yes, KE2CKF is here. I understand that somebody's out in Smithtown who's accessing the Glen Oaks.
Say that again, something about Smithtown?
Yeah, I was just listening in on the queue, so one of you is out in Smithtown, I believe, accessing through the Glen Oaks repeater.
And I may have been the other station, but I mean, I'm in the Smithtown area all the time. I work there.
Oh, roger that. Yeah, but they talked about going in through a different repeater, one that ended in 375. And I hear him on both repeaters, 375 and Glen Oaks. And I'm moving to Comac, that's why I'm curious about it.
Yeah, well, it's a split. The you know, you come out on both repeater outputs. The machines are joined. So when you talk into one, you're talking out on the other.
Oh, okay, that's very good actually, because I'm moving from Queens to Comac. And my buddy, K2YYZ, is staying in Queens, so we could stay in touch with each other that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of linked machines. If you go on repeaterbook.com, you know, just type it into any search engine, it has pretty much every repeater in North America listed, and it, you know, it's broken up the states and, hold on. Yeah, N2TBH mobile. Give me your call sign again, please.
82ZMU portable with a quick relay for you.
82ZMU portable is sounding really good. N2TBH mobile.
Hey, what's up, N2TBH? Yeah, that guy's call sign that you were asking about, it was Kilo Echo 2 Charlie King Sierra.
I got that KE2 something Charlie something Sierra.
KE2 Charlie Kilo Sierra.
Ah, Charlie Kilo Sierra. Okay. Yeah, like I said, if you go on to Repeater Book, look in New York, and they have a section on all the machines that are linked together. And so you and your, I think there's at least three in the New York City, Long Island area. So if one's busy, you got two others to use.
Oh, okay, that's great. My name's Tony, by the way. And can I get your call sign again? I'm sorry, I just want to log in.
Yeah, sure. November 2, Tango Bravo Hotel. Where's my friend, the bounty hunter? Name here is Donnie, David Oscar Nora Nora Yink.
Nice to make your acquaintance, Donnie. Bounty hunter, that's good. Yeah, thank you for the information. Because I'm kind of new to this, but yeah, this actually sets up what me and my buddy could do. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you might want to consider joining a club. I mean, I belong to Great South Bay. Great bunch of guys, and we do a lot of stuff. And we do building projects, you know. So they're online, too. Just Google Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, and you can see everything we do. You can sign on to the nets even though you're not a member. You can attend the meetings if you're not a member. Saturdays we get together down at the Town of Babylon EOC. We do projects together. So there's resources out there. And Don't worry, everybody was new at this once, too.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I took my technician test out at Great South Bay.
Yeah, the Jews are cheap and a good bunch of guys, so. Yeah, but there are other clubs around, you know. You just find your own struggle session circle and you'll be fine. Yeah, holy mackerel. Before when I let it drop, I had some guy who was like doing 90. Literally, he's on my bumper. I thought he wanted to sit in the back seat with me.
Well, actually, we're members of Limark, and we're going to join Great South Bay also.
Yeah, I used to be a member of Spark, but they went out of business about 12 years ago. About 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and you know, I was also a member of Great South Bay.
We're gonna join both. I mean, there's no harm in being in two clubs at least.
Not at all, but I think you'll like us better.
Well, I'm studying for Joel, and probably going to take the test there.
Yeah, you know, if you go online, they got a lot of good. There's one place that I used was I was a technician for like 29 years. I mean, I've been licensed since 1991, and I just didn't feel the need to do general, but then. You know, I one of my friends said, like, because I was, you know, DX, I did amateur satellites, so, but then, you know, one of my friends said, come on, you know, time not straight, you know, so I did, and there's a bunch of resources out there where you can take the test, and I forget the name of the, just Google Ham test, and there's one that you take the test, and it's, what happens is, the questions you get wrong, it keeps on retesting you on those until you get them right. So the AI realizes where you need help and just feeds you more questions.
Yeah, I like that. I use, there is a site. I use the test quizzes and practice tests and practice quizzes. I got to look at my phone, but my phone's on the other side. Yeah, those resources are great. That's how we got the technician test, H2C.
Yeah, now, I mean, there's going to be some math on there, but it's nothing you know, if you did the technician, it's nothing you've seen before. It's just you know, calculate reactances and stuff like that. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You know, if you got out of high school, you can relearn the math and do it again, you know.
Yeah, I like it. Also, it's a question pool. So, yeah, I like the format, too, the way they give the test.
Yeah, like, it's kind of funny, you know, I mean, the era of where guys, you know, like when my dad was into the hobby, which he was a radio operator in the Air Force, you know, so he knew Morse code and everything like that. And he had a set for a while, and then he just got tired of it, but, you know, I never did, and, but, you know, you make plans and then life happens, so... It wasn't until about 30 years ago I finally had enough time, you know, married, job, you know, the whole nine yards. And I figured now I got time to do this, so I'm going to do it. But, you know, it's one of these things you can pick up, put down, and then pick up again.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Actually, I was in the ham radio club when I was in high school, but I never took the test.
I was too busy always working two jobs and everything like that. But you know, it's like I said, and the technology just gets better and better. I mean, the only thing you can really fool around with now, where you could actually build stuff, is antennas, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, and that's if you can have the best, most powerful radio in the world, the most sensitivity, you know, sharpest filters for, you know, adjacent channel rejection. You know, I have a good antenna, you ain't getting out. And, you know, I got a degree in, you know, broadcast electronics. For a while, I was working in an antenna shop, and I was doing antenna testing. And it was really amazing, you know, you need a good antenna. Let's put it that way. I was doing some work on some military stuff. And you could tell when the receiver wasn't receiving, it was either the feed line or the antenna. It was very rarely... something wrong with the receiver.
Yeah, speaking of antennas, my antenna blew down last weekend during the storm, and I just put it back up yesterday.
NCTVH Mobile, what kind of antenna do you have?
It's a Hustler 440. I'm sorry, 144.
Yeah, strangely enough, I'm reconfiguring my shack at the house. I don't have an antenna up there, but it's probably going to happen later on this week, you know, between now and the beginning of April. But it's going to be pretty modest. I'm only just going to have an end-fed wire for HF and probably just a tri-band a linear that's going to do 144, 20, and 440. So it's going to be it's going to be very modest in the home. And then I'm getting ready to tear apart the rear end of my the cargo compartment of my Jeep and put in a full quarter wave on 10 meters, you know, the 102-inch whip and ball mount, and we throw the 18-4 tuner back in. But there's a lot of prep work that's got to go into it before I do that.
Yeah, actually, your antenna setup, that would be, you know, that's pretty flexible. I'm pretty much just tied to 2 meters.
Well, what kind of radio do you have?
It's a Bofang.
I thought those things were 2 meter 440, but they're single banners. All right. Not bad. Hey, you know, let me tell you something. Those Chinese radios have gotten more people involved in the hobby in the last 5 years than Icon, Kenwood, and Yaesu. So I don't understand why these people hate on these guys that operate those things. You know, I always tell everybody, like, just what's the appetite? You know, hey, you know, if you're interested in it, it's fine. You go on to bigger and better things. If not, well, you know, you didn't invest much money.
Yeah, exactly. If the price is right, you could start a radio. And you learn on it. You know, going through the menus and configuring it. I mean, it was really, like you said, the price is right.
Okay, Marvin, I got to sign with you. I'm just about where I need to be. So, 7 days, thanks for the QSO. And 2TV12 is going to be clear on your final.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to go to 73 to you guys. And, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I'll be jumping back on Glen Oaks more often. Talk again, Jess. We're out.
Yeah, KE2CKS, I'm generally on this machine when I'm leaving Smithtown for our work at day tour, so I listen to this, and of course I listen to the Gizmark machine. But 73 is nice to you, so out here.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2EAZ.
Hello, Gary.
Hey, Ed. How you doing? Where you be?
Running a couple of errands.
Okay. I just got off the air with Denmark.
Mazel tov.
Guy's all CW and his call ends in CW. I guess they have vanity calls in Denmark.
It wouldn't be the first time I came across a call with CW in it. You're probably right, but you can't be 100% sure this is just coincidence.
I would have asked them, but it would be clumsy. My Danish is not up to par.
WB2MSP.
We have to bring Maury up to speed.
I heard the last few. I was just getting the truck started up and out of the parking lot as you guys were doing something about a Danish. I prefer either prune or cheese.
No, we're talking about billions of them.
Oh, I get it. Okay. All right. Billions. Oh. All right. Well, I'm just leaving the Bronx right now, and looks like the computer says I have about almost a two-hour ride ahead of me, so happy to listen along with you. And hello, Gary.
Waiting for a cheese Danish.
Tell them about the billions, or am I going to have to?
Have you been reading your email lately, Maury?
I did. I thought we had put that issue to rest. You know, to the dustbin of history, as they say now. But I guess it's still out there. There's a lot of things in terms of things like boot, bonnet, bum. You know, all those things that the languages sort of share back and forth, but mean different things. You know what they call a pencil eraser in England, right?
Yes, actually, I do.
Let's have it.
Well, when you send your kid to college, make sure to send them with plenty of rubbers.
It's material a race is made of.
I just finished the whole chapter on that stuff.
Useful information. I was having a chat with the resident today that was stationed with me and explained to her where methadone came from and the whole history of methadone in Germany and how they couldn't get poppies, so they had to make a different pain medicine so during World War II. So we had a little history lesson.
Look, I'm into that. All I have to say is there are international standards on such things as a designation of very large numbers. And I understand hundreds of years ago, before there were such standards, but I would say since around 1800, I would think things have been rock solid with standardization of numbering. With that, I have to get out of the car for about 5 minutes. I will be right back. Over to Gary, WB2DB.
AA2GC.
Okay, I think we got Ted in there. Very good, Ed. I don't know, I think the standardization of the billions and quintillions and what have you may have occurred somewhat later, but I don't know. And so the issue remains open. Go ahead, Ted, pick it up and give it to Maury.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Maury. Hi, Ed. I am running errands, and a beautiful day. A little cool, but that's fine. How are you, Maury? I'll turn it to you.
And WB2MSP again. I am good, thank you. Thank you very much. Not to prolong this billion business again, but I think we read that it wasn't until the 1960s that the U.S., or maybe it was the Britons, they abandoned their extra three zeros. I don't know. But with the standardization, you can call it whatever you want. That's part of the reason I think that we use scientific notation. With a one number and a decimal, and then whatever the following numbers are, and then whatever the exponential value is. So there's no question at all what the actual number is. I think. I don't know. Gary?
Yes, of course. But on the other hand, you know, was there an actual inconsistency in the numerical value of the terms assigned to these values, to these amounts? That's the question that has largely remained unresolved.